Father, thank you for your goodness. And thank you, Father, for who you are. You are the Lord God Almighty. And Father, you know everything. There is no secret that is not, can be hidden from you. Lord, you know everything. And so, Lord, we come to you. We thank you for this time this morning that we've had already to worship you. Lord, we thank you that we are in your presence. Lord, we thank you for what you're doing in this body, Lord. This body of believers, Lord. How you're bringing us together, Lord, as a body. We thank you, Lord. And so, Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us now through your word. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Saturday, which is the 23rd, we're going to have outreach. Outreach is there on Newtown Road. We set up in that 7-Eleven parking lot there. We'll be serving a full Thanksgiving meal on Thursday. Thanksgiving is on Thursday. But it's Saturday, and we'll be there from 12 to 2. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve, this would be it. If you're looking for an opportunity to see what God is doing, this is it, because God is moving there in that little parking lot, in that little speck of holy ground that we have there. Amen. So we'll be there from 12 to 2, serving the Lord and serving people food and just being able to pray with people. If you would stand with me, I want to read with you Philippians 4, verses 6 through 9. Starting at verse 6, it says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you." You may be seated. I want to give you a little background here. The author of this book of Philippians is the Apostle Paul. Well, where is the Apostle Paul when he's writing this letter? He is in prison in Rome, in a dungeon, in a place that's dark, it's cold, it's a lonely place to be. The Philippian church was one of the first churches that Paul founded on his first missionary journey. He made the trip, the transition to Philippi. He entered the city, and like he always does in most villages that he entered, he would always look for the synagogue, because he would go there first and be able to lecture in the synagogue there, sharing the gospel, the good news. So he arrives in Philippi with his team, and they go to look for the synagogue, and the synagogue is not, they find no synagogue. Okay? So they end up going down to the river, and they find a group of women there, and they were praying. And Philippi is where Lydia comes upon the scene, the lady of purple cloth. She comes upon the scene. That's also where the Apostle Paul cast out the demon and this demon-possessed woman. And it made the silversmiths there very upset, because that was their only means of making a living. And they was very profitable. And so then That was the first place, I believe it's the first place, that the Apostle Paul was arrested. He was put in jail, and he was arrested, and then the next day he got out, and that's where he says that he asked them, because Philippi was a Roman colony, and ruled by Rome, controlled by Rome, and so he asked them, he said, you know, I'm a Roman citizen. You have put me in jail without even giving me a trial. You know, that was wrong in Roman law. But the Philippian church had quickly become his friend. They quickly became a part of his ministry. And they partnered with him in all that he did. So here he is. He is writing this letter. He's not addressing any heresy or false teaching there. He's just addressing his friends, okay, and here in Philippi. But he makes this one statement here in verse 6. He says to don't worry about anything. You know, in our culture, today's message is entitled, You and I Can Experience Peace in a Culture Filled with Anxiety. You know, anxiety is a new buzzword that we like to hear floating around. And you hear this a lot. I'm anxious about this. I got this anxiety about this. And you even hear it a lot in Christian circles. And there's medicine that can be prescribed for a person's anxiety. Now, I'm not saying the medicine is wrong, because sometimes, a lot of times, God will use medicine as a means to heal a person. Okay? But what is anxiety? What is worry? It's a negative. It can do nothing for you. You know, I can tell you this. I can worry, I can lay in bed and worry all night long and not get any sleep. How many of you have ever done that? You ever done that? And it accomplishes and it produces nothing. Worry is a negative. It can produce nothing. All it will do, it's kind of like a cancer. It will spread into other areas of your life. It'll rob you. We worry as parents. Our children are all grown. We worry about our grown adults. We lay at night worrying about them. We worry about our finances. We lay at night worried about something we cannot fix. Worry is a distraction. You know, worry can hinder our growth. It can keep us from focusing on what we should be focusing on. And God did not make us to worry. But see, because we live in a culture where it's just everything is so fast-paced, and we want it here and now, and because we don't have it here and now, and we compare ourselves to what other people do have, we worry because we don't have. Amen? We worry because we don't have, because we can't fix it. I want to share with you what it says in Matthew 10:29-31. What is the price? What is the price of two sparrows? One copper coin. But not a single sparrow can fall to the ground without your Father knowing it. And the very hairs on your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. Now, I looked up about sparrows in the biblical days. One sparrow was worth about $1.67. Okay? Not very much. But it says here that God cares even if one of those sparrows falls. He knows all the feathers. He's got them all numbered. He puts them in place. And it says if He cares about a sparrow if it falls, how much more does He care about you? Listen to what it says in Matthew 6, 31 through 34. It says, so don't worry about these things. What things? Things we don't have. Things we don't need. What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. Amen? Amen? And so it says here, don't worry about anything. God cares about every need, everything that goes on in your life. Now, why do I worry? Why do I worry? I worry about things I use, things that circumstances in my life that I usually cause myself, that I can't fix. But God says here, it says, don't worry about anything. Don't worry about anything. So what are we to do? What are we to do? Let me turn my page here. What do we do in the circumstances that affect our lives, that affect our families' lives? The instruction here is that we, it says, instead of worrying, what do we do? Just the opposite. We should do just the opposite. We should pray about everything. You know, this morning in Sunday school, Pastor Mark was talking about Acts chapter 13, where the church there in Antioch has come together and they're praying and fasting. These five prophets and teachers, they're praying. And the Holy Spirit says, set aside for me. Not only are they praying, but they're fasting and praying. You see, they said, the Holy Spirit says, set aside for me, Paul, and Barnabas. What were they doing? They were praying and fasting. They were looking to get direction from God about what the next move should be. We have two things going on in our church right now. Two things that affect our community. One is we're working with the elementary school because God is moving there. The other thing is God is moving at the outreach there on Newtown Road in that little bitty spot. God is moving there. So what could we do? What should we be doing? We should be praying and fasting about what God wants to do in those two areas. All of us coming together to see how we can play a part in this. Most of you, most all of you, are part of these two things. Part of these two outreaches. I'm telling you, God is going to do something through what we've seen and what we've seen, because God is the God of possibilities. Amen? We are limited in our thinking. But the instruction here is that is given to us here that we are to connect. We are to connect with the power source. What is the power source? It's not the internet. It's not Facebook. It's not Twitter. It's the living God. He cares about these communities that we're reaching out to. And how do we let go of the situations in our lives? It tells us instead we are to pray about everything. We are to do what? Tell God what we need. Tell God what we need. Why? Because God has everything. And we have a need. He cares about your finances. He cares about where you work. He cares about who your neighbors are. He cares about what kind of car you drive, or whether your car needs to be fixed, or whether your washing machine breaks down. This week, I came home. It was cold. Kathy says, I got some bad news. And I'm like, okay. No, this was Monday, the day I was off. Well, one of those days. And she says, the washing machine's broke. Now, that's no big deal, right? Well, I also have my upstairs bathroom because we had a leak inside the wall there in one of the pipes. And so all that sheetrock and all that plywood in the upstairs bathroom over a period of time has just rotted. It was something you couldn't see. So I have my upstairs bathroom completely apart. All the tiles gone. All the pipe is replaced. The toilet's replaced. And I'm trying to put it back together. That's probably why I'm so tired. I'm glad I don't have to do that for a living. Amen. But to get that, it was kind of like, man, what is happening here? God, what are you trying to say to us? And so I said, why don't we stop and we'll pray? Because why? This is not a want. This is a need. We need to have a washing machine because Kathy does a lot of laundry every day. Okay? And so we started praying. We took time out and we prayed. And you know what? We got a phone call from somebody because Kathy had put it out there on Facebook. And we get a phone call from somebody that had their grandparents had passed away, and there was like a brand new washing machine they had had in their garage, and they were wondering what they were going to do with it. Okay? And they said, if you want it, it's yours. So we went and got it, and the washing machine was almost like new, and it had only been used for 6 months, and it was from the grandfather who had lived by himself because his wife had passed away, and you know, and so it might have been used 6 months. You know what I'm saying? So it was like brand new. So we got this washing machine and got it hooked up. God provided. Praise God. Amen. But it says to tell God what you need. Not what you want. What you need. If He cares about the sparrows. It also says in that, in chapter 10 of Matthew, about the lilies of the field. And it says that even Solomon, in all his splendor, was not as beautiful as those lilies in the field who are here today and gone tomorrow. God cares about them. So God cares about every need that you have. Every need that we have here at this church, at New Creation, He cares about it. Now, I believe this is the key to the whole thing. It says, how do we let go of the situations in our lives? Well, how do we let go of them? We begin to thank God for all He has done. Every morning we wake up and we breathe. Whose air do we breathe? Not Dominion Powers, not Virginia Natural Gas. We breathe God's air. He supplied it. Amen? We thank God for everything we have. We have clothes. We have a roof over our head here that we can worship God. Thank Him for it. Amen? We may have a couple of leaks here and there, but we got a place to come in and we're warm. Amen. So we thank Him for all He has done. So, number three is, we show our gratitude for all He has done to help us to achieve His purpose. You know, we hear the world, you listen to the news and the media, and you hear this talk about world peace and all this. You know what? When you begin to pray about everything you need and you thank God for what you... What does it say? It says, then you will experience God's peace. It's God's peace, not the world's peace, but God's peace that what? Exceeds anything we can understand. And then it goes on to say this, that it's His peace that will guard our hearts and our minds. I don't know about you, but my heart needs to be guarded. Amen? And my mind definitely does. I need my mind renewed. And the only way I can get my mind renewed is to feed my soul from the living Word of God. Amen? Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 13 say this, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a hope and a future. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. As Creator, God knows everything about us. He knows everything, every muscle, every tendon, every bone, where it's at. Why? Because He put it in place. He made us for a purpose. He made you and I. You are here today for a purpose. God has predestined a divine appointment for you to be here today. And as provider, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says that trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. There's that word. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. I don't know about you, but I've been on a lot of paths that led to nowhere. Amen? I want to be on the right path that leads me in a better relationship with God. So, to sum this up, what we're talking about here is understanding, having God's peace. Okay? And Paul, he had a right to say that because he knew what it was like. Look where he was at. He was in prison in a dark, lonely, cold place. And he said, don't worry about anything. Okay? Now think about this. These very next verses, he said, fix your thoughts on these things. On these. In other words, this should be your attitude. This should be what you're thinking about. Things that are true and honorable and right and just and pure and lovely and honorable. And honorable. And Paul, of all people in prison, he says this statement. Whatever you have heard or received from me or learned from me or heard from me, put it into practice. And then he says, the God of peace will be
with you. That's the key. That's the key. We need to fix our thoughts on what? Jesus. We need to fix our thoughts on things that are good, not on negative things. We need to get rid of that. It does nothing. Worry does nothing. It's the peace of God that we seek. And you know what? If the peace of God is with us, we can go through any circumstance, any situation. Amen? Guys, I don't know where you stand. I don't even know where you were at when you came through these doors. But I do know this, that no matter where you find yourself at right now, you see, God knows what's in your heart. He knows what you're thinking. He knows all the secrets of your heart. But you are here not by accident. You are here for a reason. God has got you here. Wants you to know, he wants to have, if he doesn't already, he wants a relationship with you. A relationship that you have never experienced. And I want to pray right now, if you would just bow your heads with me, please. Father, thank you for your presence. Thank you, Father, for your peace that exceeds anything I can understand with my simple mind. And Father, I pray, it is my prayer, Lord, that if there's anyone here, Lord, who needs to experience that relationship, to be able to experience that peace, Father, I pray that they not leave this building until they talk to someone about it. Talk to you about it, Lord. Because you're the one who can change things. You are the one who fixes things. You are the one who can give new direction. You are the one who gives second chances. And Father, I pray that if there's some here that have that relationship and that are struggling, Lord, that they receive this word, Lord, that God, you have given us weapons to knock down strongholds and to destroy false arguments. Father, I pray that they would no longer stand in your presence, no longer stand defeated, Lord, that they would begin to use the weapons that you have given. So, Lord, I pray that this week, Lord, you would help us, Lord, as we come together, as we seek you and what you would have us do here, Lord, that we would come together united as a church, united as a body, realizing that each member is vital to the body. And, Father, to join you in what you're doing. For we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you. May God be with you and go with you. And may you experience His peace this week. Amen.